Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
So it's been an incredible series that the Holy Spirit's been bringing week in and week out about faith. I talked to you about enduring in faith, the persevering in faith. And then Pastor Jaron came and showed you about the different aspects of faith in the book of James. And then last week, Andrea, she talked about being oily, how we got to keep oil in our lamps, okay? And we got to get oily. And so I'm going to just pick up on the same thread of the Holy Spirit and what he's talking to you about. And I was leaning in this week. I went to Wind Camp, so my whole week was kind of thrown off because Monday was not my day off. Yesterday was. And so Monday, Tuesday, in order to have yesterday off, I was like, Lord, I need a word. I need to know what you want me to talk about. And the Holy Spirit had put this scripture in my heart. And then I think it was Monday night, I'm driving after camp. I have Lucy with me. And I asked her, what did you learn today? She's like, Matthew 5:6 is our theme verse. And I'm thinking, that's a weird verse for a theme verse. And I go, what does it say? Let your light shine. And I said, oh, 5:16. But that was the verse that had been ruminating in my spirit. So you never know how God will confirm what he's speaking to you. For me, it was through Lucy this week. And so the theme verse of the camp was Matthew 5:16. And we're going to talk about shining the light. Okay, Matthew 5:14 through 16. Jesus said, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So in order to shine bright, you got to get oily. Last week, Andrea talked about how the parable of the 10 virgins, it was nighttime, and they had to keep their lamps lit, not just so they could see, but so that the other people could see them. And the importance of having enough oil through our relationship with God, through our intimacy with Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, that we can keep ourselves burning. It reminds me of a song when we were kids growing up. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Hallelujah. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep it burning, burning, burning. Keep it burning till the break of day. Aye, man, we used to sing that song all the time. We got to stay lit. It's interesting. I saw a t-shirt from Nathan, and it said, be salty and stay lit. Wow. And I looked at that, and then it said Matthew 5:16. Be salt and light. Don't be salty in a bad way. Be salt and light. We are called to shine the light of Jesus in the midst of darkness. And it says here that you don't take a lamp and then hide it under a basket. You don't hide the light. And I think this is an important call for us as Christians to be reminded that in a culture where we are told, keep your religion to yourself, keep your beliefs to yourself, don't bring that into society. Jesus actually says, light and don't hide it. Shine your light and don't hide it. Don't hide it. I grew up when they were saying in America, you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about religion, you know, you keep that to yourself, don't offend people. And I've come to understand that that was a well-crafted lie of the enemy intended to keep Christians quiet. But how we shine is what matters. And I'm going to talk about that today in the context of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus makes this statement. See, Jesus is the light of the world. And it's him in us. So we're not shining our light. We don't have light. We are shining his light. We want people to see Jesus so that he can draw the world to himself through our life, through our good deeds. And that good deeds is what Pastor James talked about. Pastor Jaron in the book of James. Okay. Thanks, Pastor. That's right. That faith without works is dead. So faith has to be an action. Their faith must be evidenced by the good things that we do. And so we're going to look at this in the context of Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount. But before I get there, I just want to take you to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul illuminates this concept in verses 8 through 11. He says, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light." Say that with me. Live as people of light. That means that there is an expectation that the power of Jesus Christ within us changes us so that we now live not according to darkness, but according to light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. So here we have in Matthew 5, 16, and even in this verse, that there is a difference between good deeds and evil deeds. There's a difference between light and darkness. Do you know that darkness is the absence of light? Here's a little physics lesson, right? So there is really no such thing as darkness. It's just the absence of light. And so it is our responsibility to be the light in the midst of darkness so other people can see the light, come to the light, and meet the light, Jesus. So there is a difference between when Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit, it produces in us good works, right? John 15, abide in me and produce good works, right? And so we have this understanding that it's not us trying to be good, not us trying to do the right thing, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables me to do what is right, to do good things, not evil things, because Jesus is the source of light. And through his Holy Spirit, we learn to do good deeds. And the reality is Satan is real, and he is the source of evil and all of the deeds that result from lawlessness and evil. And that's why we're seeing such an increase in sin and lawlessness in our culture, because the church has been hiding its light for a while. And it's time. It's time to stop hiding, to shine the light. So I want to give you some context. We're going to be in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 for the rest of this morning. Because the Sermon on the Mount is one of the most famous teachings of Jesus that he did. And this verse we read about being the light of the world, we need to understand it in context. So I want to take it to you in just a couple of verses earlier, and I want to start in 11 and 12. Jesus says, after he gives a list of the Beatitudes, all right, the things of heaven, the priorities of heaven, he says in verse 11, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad. Why? For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. And then Jesus goes on to say, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. And the context is understanding that we are called to continue to shine the light of Jesus without hiding the light, without trying to pretend that we're something else. We don't want to offend people. Light is offensive. Sometimes it is. Have you ever been in a dark room and then walked outside? Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I prefer to sleep in a completely dark environment. Just the light of something electronic drives me nuts. And if my eyes see it, I feel like it's like, ooh. So when I was in Arizona visiting my family, we had done the 4th of July festival all day. I'd been on my feet from 7:30 to 2:30. And then I drove for 8 hours to Arizona. And so when I got home, got to my parents, I took some Tylenol, took a hot shower, and I tried to sleep, but my body just wasn't comfortable. So I went into my parents' living room, I got into the recliner, and all of a sudden, all the lights from everything in there was driving me nuts. I couldn't sleep. It was offending me. So I got up and I covered the TV light, I covered the VCR, they don't have a VCR, they're not that old. DVD though, they do have a DVD player. I covered that light, the light from the surround speaker behind me, like I had to cover it all. And then my dad has a cuckoo clock, so I had to go quiet that. And then I was like, okay, I'm able to sleep. Guys, you have to understand that light can be offensive when you're in darkness. When you're in the light, it's not offensive because you're surrounded by light. Like, you wouldn't notice this light because we're surrounded in light. But if it was pitch black, this light might offend you. Are you seeing what the Holy Spirit's trying to draw your attention to? So don't be surprised when people mock you, persecute you, slander you, lie about you, because the light within you could offend them because they're so steeped in darkness. That when they see you and they see the light of Jesus, they'll be like, not only that, but the light exposes things. And when they're around you, man, I used to have people who are not saved tell me, man, Don, I don't know what it is when I get around you. I realize I cuss a lot. Not because I said anything, I never did. They weren't saved. I'm not going to call them out. I'm going to let them talk the way they talk. I'm just not going to participate and talk that way. But the light of Jesus will impact people around you. All of a sudden, they might cuss in front of everybody else, but around you, they won't. Or if they do, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. They used to do that to me at the hospital, and I'd laugh. I'm like, it's okay. Because light is offensive when you live in darkness. And that's why Jesus said, don't worry when people mock you, persecute you, lie about you, say all kinds of evil things. This is happening right now in our country. You take a strong stand for what the Bible says is true, you will get hate. You will get canceled. You will get smeared. People will lie about you. They'll exclude you. They'll cancel you. Why? Because there is a clash between light and darkness in America. And I'm here to tell you, God is not done with America. God is not done. And there are people looking for light, but they're looking all around and they might see false light, but that's because the church needs to shine the real light. If you choose to follow Jesus, if you choose to stand for what is biblically true, you will suffer for it. You will suffer for it. Or you'll be so pressured and persecuted that you'll compromise. It's one or the other. Now, why am I telling you this? Because I need to prepare you for when you are facing darkness and you are being mocked, persecuted, lied about, slandered. When people at work or in your family start treating you different because you are in the light, how will you respond? Because we are seeing this in an increasing measure in our nation. And interestingly enough, if you look at the verse, Jesus said, when this happens to you, be happy and glad. Right? The older translation says, rejoice. Rejoice? Why would I be happy about getting lied about and slandered? That makes me mad. It ticks me off. Because he says you have a reward in heaven. So watch your reaction. If you're only concerned about yourself, your reputation, you're going to be mad. You're going to hold a grudge. You're going to act the wrong way. But if you realize it's not you, but Jesus in you, then it doesn't matter what they say to you, what they do to you, because you got a reward waiting you in heaven, and it's all right. I can rejoice in the middle of it. You got to get the right mentality. Don't fear man. And this is what this scripture is telling us, that you shouldn't, don't be afraid of what they say about you, what they do to you for living for Jesus, because nothing is wasted. Live bold. Live bold and shine the light of Jesus. Don't hide it. Don't shy away. I was driving back to California, and I was listening to a podcast, and they shared a video of a young person who was calling people to stand up. She was a young Muslim girl, probably in her 20s. She's like, I want to invite you, those of you who are Muslim, those of you who are sensitive to our cause, don't worry if you get doxxed or canceled. Or I had to look up doxxed. I didn't even know what it meant. It meant like to have your pay cut or something. Don't worry if you get doxxed or canceled. Don't worry if you get fired or even imprisoned. You have to stand for what you believe. And she was so passionate for that, which is not even truth. And I said, wow, if she here as a young person is saying stand up, and we're seeing this in our culture through riots. We're seeing this in the culture through the vitriol in the language, hatred, violence. If I don't like the way you think, then I'm going to act out. And I was listening and I thought, how much more then should we who have the truth, who have Jesus Christ in us, the Holy Spirit within us, how much more should we be unashamed to live bold for Jesus. But here's the difference between others and us, hopefully in Jesus' name. The difference is our method. I'm going to say that again. The difference between what's happening in our culture with certain lines of thought and ideology, whether it's trans, whether it's immigration, whatever the different issues are, and I'm not here to take a side, but I'm here to say there is this prevailing method of anger, violence, hatred, name-calling, destruction. That's not the way of Jesus. So we are to shine the light and live bold and stand for what we believe in, but the difference is our method. Jesus said, let your light shine through your good deeds so that they would see your good deeds and glorify God in heaven. Later on in chapter 5, verse 43, it says this. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Boy, is this America culture right now. If you don't agree with me 100%, I can't be your friend anymore. It's like we've gotten into this weird mindset, sometimes even within the body of Christ, that if we don't agree 100%, we can't be friends. That is a lie of the enemy. There is no one person you agree 100% with, not even your spouse. Come on, married people, you know I'm not joking. You can have the same kids from the same parents and they don't even agree. You're like, how are you so different? You were raised in the same, your DNA is the same. And yet the world is trying to even influence the church. If you don't think like me, if you don't agree with me, I'm going to hate you. That's not the Jesus way. Jesus hung out and befriended all kinds of people who didn't think like him or even like him or wasn't even sure what they thought of him. He says, you've heard it say, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. I feel like this could just be written in America right now. You have heard it said, love those who agree with you and hate those who don't. Guys, the Bible is relevant. Jesus says, but I say, love your enemies. Love those that you don't agree with. Love those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives both sunlight to the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Let me put it like this. If you love only those who are easy to love, there's no reward in that. Even the world can love the ones that are easy to love to them. Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans, unbelievers do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So how do we deal with people who don't think like us? People who don't believe in Jesus, people who have a different stance maybe than we do on different political issues, or how do we deal with people who have a different stance than what the Bible says is right? How do we deal with it? Well, Jesus said this, love them. Love them, don't hate them. Pray for them, don't curse them. Come on, some of you will see something online. I've been tested in this area not too much recently, and it's just like, love them, pray for them. So I got ready to go to the memorial service on Friday, and somebody left me a two-sided handwritten note, and it was not nice. And I won't say what it said, but they were so angry that it was on both sides, so I could see it from the inside, and when I walked around, I could see it on the outside. I said, wow, this person must really be angry that they left me a note on both sides. And I was driving and I was like, how dare somebody put something on my truck? That's mean, man. That's rude. Who was it? You know, I'm trying to think. And then I was like, nope, nope, pray for them. Pray for them. Man, I had to drive all the way almost to Los Angeles. I was like at the 5 and the 2 before it finally broke because I kept saying, Lord, I bless them. Give them a good day today. God, I pray that they would have joy today. God, I pray. even though they were spitting stuff at me today, that you would bless them. That maybe they'd get a raise today. Maybe they'll get good news today. But God, bless them with peace. Bless them with joy. God, meet them today. I pray that they would encounter you in a way today that just would get them. And then I would drive a little bit more and I'd think about it and I'd be like, God, I bless them. I bless them with peace. And I had to do it multiple times until finally the effect took off. And it did not steal from my day. Love, don't hate. Pray for them. Bless them. Be kind to everyone, not just your friends. You know those people at work that might give you a hard time? Don't retaliate. Be kind to them. Use your words and actions to point people to Jesus. I remember one of my friends made me a shirt that just says, love, pray, point to Jesus. Because that's been my mantra since the Holy Spirit showed me that many years ago. Love, pray, point to Jesus. How do you point to Jesus? Through your words and your actions. So the highlights, the overall highlights of the Sermon on the Mount are these three things, and we're going to get into them as we unpack it. Number one, you got to keep a clean heart. Jesus starts dealing with the attitudes of the heart. And so you got to keep a clean heart. He calls us in to live righteous and to love others. And so we're going to unpack this because this is how we shine our light. In chapter 5, verse 22 through 24, look what Jesus says. He says, I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, idiot, jerk, other words, you are in danger of being brought before the court. If you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. Wow, Jesus just took it a different way. He's not talking about what comes out of our mouth. He says, even if in your mind, you start calling them names, you start cursing them, you're in trouble. You're in danger. Why? Because unresolved anger, when we hold on to our anger, it leads us into sin. That's why the Bible says, do not go to sleep angry, because it gives a foothold to the enemy. So Jesus is saying, you know, I probably should have brought in the actual verse before that. He says, you've heard it said, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, even if you're angry, you're subject to judgment. So Jesus takes it from the action to the attitude. Come on, you got to get this. Because you know how you prevent the action? By guarding the attitude. Oh, that's good. I'm going to say it again. Okay, on this side, over here. You know how you prevent doing the action? Guard the attitude. If we keep the right attitude of our heart, then we won't have to fear about anger getting into our actions, causing us to sin. And is that easy? No. Is it possible? Yes, because with God, all things are possible. He goes, so if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice. Jesus is trying to point out that more than our religious duties, he wants us to be in right relationship with people. He says, if you come to church and you're ready to serve and sing and do the church thing on Sunday, but you are angry at someone in church or in your family, he says, I would rather you just go home and get it right than come back. But first, make it right. Be reconciled. Why? Because God values relationship over religion. So we got to learn how to give our anger to God, because in order to keep a clean heart, I need to keep my heart clean of anger. And that was the majority of my drive to the memorial on Friday, because I was a little angry that somebody did that. You have to give your anger to God and let it go. Here's the tricky thing. When that happens, don't talk bad about the person who harmed you, hurt you, talked about you. Don't demean, don't name call. Just because they don't agree with me, that doesn't make them an idiot. You You idiot, can't you see what I'm talking about? How easy do our words, especially if you listen to any kind of analysis about politics. I hate it because they're calling each other stupid. And I'm like, they're not stupid. They actually know what they're doing. And Jesus said, don't even call them an idiot. You'll get in trouble. Don't name call. Don't put other people down just because they don't think like you. That's not the Jesus way. That's the world's way. That's not the Jesus way. Seek reconciliation. In other words, seek peace. If you need to, forgive. Why? Because relationship is more important than religion. I'm going to go on in verse 28 through 30, but I think I'll go ahead and read 27 as well. You've heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even if it's your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. This is hyperbole. This is not literal. But Jesus is emphasizing to what extent he wants us to deal with sin in our lives, with lust specifically. Who cares if you're the only grown man with a flip phone? If that's what you need to do to not watch porn on your phone, then who cares what your coworkers say about you? You're getting free. You're honoring Jesus. If you choose not to follow certain people that other people follow on social media and you feel a little left out, well, good for you, because you care more about the purity of your heart and what your eyes see than what other people think about you. We have got to love righteousness more than we love sin and popularity and being well thought of. We got to desire righteousness more than anything this world offers. So in order to keep a clean heart, not only do we keep it clean from anger, but we keep it clean from sexual impurity and lust. And this is completely opposite, again, of our cultural values right now. Our culture says, hey, whatever makes you feel good, just do it. Everybody watches porn, even more women now, which is statistically true. It's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. If we belong to Jesus, Jesus says, go to whatever length you need to go to keep your heart pure. Just because everyone else is doing it, don't make it right. Come on, you know you've said it to your kids. But mom, don't but mom me. And yet as adults, sometimes we say the same thing. But God, that's the wrong but God, okay? And then Matthew 5:37, here's another thing that he talks about, vows and honoring our vows. It says in verse 37, just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. So now we're getting into the next topic of conversation in the Sermon on the Mount, is how do we live righteous? Number one, integrity. Be a person of your word. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. There has been times that I've said yes to something and then regretted it after. But because I know what the Bible says, I did it anyway. And you know what I learned from it? Before I give a yes, I better think about it. Check my schedule first. Maybe pray about it. So that I don't give my yes too much. But I know I need to use my no to protect my yes. And I need to be wise in that. So integrity. And you know what? Guys, talk about shining your light. If you're a person who's not easily angered, it will stand out. If you're a person at work who doesn't talk bad about other people, it'll stand out. If you're in a family conversation and it just starts going into a place and people are getting angry and you refuse to participate, it'll stand out. If I show kindness to those who don't agree with me, it'll stand out. If I pray for those who give me a hard time, it'll stand out. This is how you shine the light of Jesus in the world around us. It's not about preaching all the time or pray. Oh, God bless. I'm highly favored and blessed. It's not just about the words. It's the actions. Actions speak louder than words. He said, let your light shine. He didn't say through your words. He said through your good deeds. Because if your deeds don't match your words, then they don't care about your Jesus. So if we are not easily angered people, If we don't call people names, if we don't participate in that kind of behavior, if we're not talking or doing that water cooler, you know, the guy locker room talk. You know how they talk about, I don't know, because I'm not a guy, but I've heard about it. If we're not participating in those jokes, in those conversations, men, it'll stand out. People will see, oh, that he's a person of integrity. If he says yes, he means it. You can count on him. His word is his bond. These used to be cultural values, but they are no longer cultural values, but they are Christ values. And if we become people of integrity, we will stand out and shine. Let your word be consistent. Boy, this is good. I hope you're taking notes. Matthew chapter 5, 41 and 42. I'm going to read it in the message. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat stuff. Live generously. I like that. So Jesus is calling us to live righteous by not getting even, not retaliating, not tit for tat, but actually being generous. Through what? Through kindness. Through giving. Through love. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, Jesus said, go the extra mile, turn the other cheek. This is the context. Do the unexpected. I'm going to take this a little further in Romans 12, verse 19. And following, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, listen, look. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. We are increasingly living in a culture that values revenge. We see it all throughout different aspects of our society. Jesus said, don't get even, be generous and kind. I was asking some of the young people, I worked with the junior high group this week at camp, and they called them the bananas. And we were doing our last lesson on, and I asked them a question. What do you do if at school, like, people make fun of you for being a Christian, you know? Like, if you stand up for what you believe in, because it was talking about being bold for the story to be told. And so we were talking about how God is faithful to make me bold so his story can be told. And so we were talking about what that really looks like at school, because some of these kids will be back in junior high and some of them will be in high school. And I said, so how do you deal with it when you're at school if you're going to be bold about being a follower of Jesus and maybe they'll make fun of you, maybe they won't want you to be part of their group. What do you do? And one of the students said, kill them with kindness. And I said, that's right. That's what I'm preaching on Sunday. Kill them with kindness. I remember when Oprah made it famous to do random acts of kindness. Why does Oprah have to make it famous? Jesus is the one that said, be kind. Love is patient, love is kind. And so we're called not to get even, but be kind. So next time you want to get revenge, come on, ask the Holy Spirit, what can I do to kill him with kindness? Maybe you take him out to lunch and you pay for it. Maybe you find out what their favorite coffee beverage is and you just shock them in the morning where you're like, here you go. And they're like, why are you giving me coffee? I just want you to have a good day, just thinking about you. It'll freak them out. Your light will shine bright when you show acts of kindness. We're called to live righteous. Don't get even. Be generous and do acts of kindness. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to skip ahead to verse 1 because we only got so much time. Here's what he says. Do not judge others and you will not be judged. Oh, this is where Christians get in so much trouble because we love to judge each other. We love to judge the world and we love to judge each other. Well, I don't know how she could do that. I mean, oh my God, what was she thinking? Did you see what he was wearing? Ugh. Somebody should talk to him. Come on, people in the church. We are guilty of being the most judgmental people. That's why so many people don't even want to come here. But we're called, what did Jesus say? Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. This is now in Luke chapter 6, 37 and 38. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Now, I want to point out to you that the context of this promise, you've heard him say, if you bring your tithe to the Lord, he will give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That is not the full context of the scripture. The context of the scripture is mercy and forgiveness. Don't judge. Instead, forgive. Come on, say it. Don't judge. Instead, forgive. Keep your opinion to yourself. What? Give up your right to have an opinion. I remember the Holy Spirit directed me to do that about 20 years ago. Because I had a lot of opinions. Because I'm from a family who has a lot of opinions. I don't know if anyone can relate. You get with my family, we got some opinions. And we are some pretty strong, passionate people. I'm like, Jesus, help us. And I remember the Holy Spirit was like, you need to give up your right to an opinion. And I said, well, I'm not as bad as my family. Come on, people. You know you do this. I'm like, I'm more refined than my family. Oh, just keeping it real. You got to know your pastor. I'm just keeping it real. And the Holy Spirit didn't laugh. He just simply repeated himself. Give up your right to have an opinion. And so I surrendered it to the Lord in worship. And I started to keep my opinion more and more to myself. Sometimes it didn't happen and I had to repent and ask for more help. But it got easier and easier to keep my opinion to myself. Then the Holy Spirit amped it up a notch. I remember one day in our time together, he said, you've been doing good keeping your opinion to yourself. Thanks, Holy Spirit. You know, feeling good. I was feeling pretty good. Thanks, Holy Spirit. He's like, now give up your right to even think an opinion. Right? I was like, whoa, I'm still a work in progress, but I'm really trying not to even have an opinion, because who am I? I only know what I know, and it's really small compared to the world, and I don't know your life. I don't know your story. I don't know what you've been through, your experience, so who am I to try to tell you what's right or wrong unless it's scriptural? Don't judge or criticize. So here when it says given, you will receive, this is not talking about finances. It's actually talking about mercy. I don't know about you, but I like mercy. You know what mercy is? When I'm not treated as I deserve to be treated. And the mercy of God is really important to me. So if I want to be treated with mercy, then I must treat others with mercy. If I don't want to be judged, then I need to not judge others. So if I give forgiveness, I'll receive forgiveness. If I give mercy, I'll receive more mercy. Anybody want more mercy in your life? Hey, if you're honest with yourself, we all need mercy every day. Some days more than others. Amen. We all need mercy. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Jesus says this, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Treat others like you want to be treated. We know this as the golden rule. I had a conversation with my nieces, I think over Christmas this last time. And one of them was telling me about how this person was giving them a hard time. Made fun of our last name, Beard. I mean, it's easy to do. And she was telling me, yeah, my classmate was making fun of our last name. And I said, oh, yeah? What did you do? She's like, I made fun of him. And, you know, I try not to laugh. And I said, well, the Bible says that you know, if we get made fun of, we shouldn't do it back. We're supposed to treat each other as we want to be treated. She's like, well, I figured if he treated me that way, it's because he wanted me to treat him that way. out loud. How can you not? I mean, I was like, well, that's one way to look at that scripture. So I was like, Holy Spirit, help me. How do I help my little niece understand the way that scripture is supposed to be? I mean, it was pretty sound logic, you know? But that's the thing. We're called to a different level of living. You notice all of these things that Jesus is calling us to do in the Sermon on the Mount, to keep our heart free from anger and unforgiveness, to keep our heart free from unfaithfulness, to keep our heart free from lust, because that's the way the world does it. And so we're to live different so that our light shines before men, that they see our good deeds and they give him glory. They're drawn to Jesus through our actions. When he says to live righteous, he's giving us that concept of how to live righteous. Don't retaliate. Don't get even. Be people of mercy. Don't judge. Make sure you forgive and be generous people in your acts of kindness. This is very different than the way the world stands up for what they believe in right now. And so we're told, like, well, don't ruffle feathers. You know, don't cause a problem. Keep your faith to yourself. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can live bold and let the light of Jesus shine through you without even preaching a word. Just live like Jesus. Love like Jesus. Show patience instead of anger. Be kind instead of retaliate. Keep your mouth clean instead of cursing and telling stories like everybody else. Be faithful to your spouse instead of everybody else. Come on, we are not called to live like the world. We're called to do it different. They stand up for what they believe, and they have one way. But Jesus said, stand up for what you believe. Shine the light. Don't hide it. Don't shy from it. But do it this way. The Jesus way. Do unto others what you would like them to do to you. And I would say, love others as yourself. That's what the golden rule essentially says. The second greatest commandment, right? The first one, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. Do to others what you want them to do to you. It doesn't matter if it's fair. It doesn't matter if it's even recognized. Jesus sees it. Even if you go out of your way to do something and they don't even say thank you, you're not doing it really for them, you're doing it for Jesus. We show kindness because we love Jesus and we want to impact the world around us. In chapter 7, verse 21, it says this, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. In other words, talk is cheap. Do God's will. And we do God's will in faith and in obedience because we know that his way is the higher way. His way is the righteous way. And this takes us back, worship team, if you'll come forward. And this takes us back to the theme verse, the theme of the camp this last week and the theme verse for today in Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. For all to see. For all to see. Let your good deeds shine at home. Sometimes I think we do a better job letting our good deeds shine in public, but when we get home, we get a little lazy. Right? Sometimes we talk worse to our spouse than we talk to the regular people we don't even know. Do it at home. Do it at work. Do it in public. Do it in private. Let your light so shine so that your family sees. Let your light so shine so that your neighbors see. Let your light so shine so that your coworkers see. Let the light so shine so that the people that are running the marketplace or your favorite coffee joint, that they will see that something is different about you. Do you know if you can just show kindness to the cashier who's having a hard time and you waited forever and ever and you're getting a little impatient and you're like, man, I thought it was the shortest line and it'd be in the longest line and I got places to be and I got things to do. And then you get up there and you could tell they're frazzled. Have you ever just thought about stopping and saying, hey, thank you for what you do? One time the Holy Spirit had me do that because I was feeling a little. And she just stopped and she's like, Sure. I said, I appreciate your hard work. I just wanted to tell you that. That's it. Let your light so shine before men that they see and give praise to your Father in heaven. So just to recap, Jesus says we got to keep a clean heart, free from anger, from lust, from judgment, from retaliation, from unfaithfulness. He wants us to live righteous by loving like Christ, forgiving, being kind, showing mercy, living pure lives, living lives of integrity and generosity, that we love God and we love others. Will you stand to your feet today? We are called to live bold, Heights Worship Center. Not loud. Sometimes we think boldness is loudness. Boldness, let your good deeds glorify God. Be the light in the darkness. Don't be shocked if your light offends people in darkness. Pray for them. Bless them. Be kind to them. I would like you right now in this moment to just close your eyes and ask the Holy Spirit if there's just one thing He wants you to focus on. One thing from today's message. One area that He's going to call you to shine bright for Him, to live bold for Him. Just ask the Holy Spirit what that is that He wants you to do. And then I want you to respond by saying, yes, help me, Holy Spirit. Empower me to walk in obedience. Help me to shine my light, the light of Jesus, bright. In this one area, if you need to ask for forgiveness, do it. And then right now, receive Holy Spirit empowerment to do what He's asking you to do right now. Whatever it is, just pray this prayer after me. Say, dear God, thank you for loving me, for showing me kindness, for forgiving me and giving me mercy and grace. Help me, Holy Spirit, to shine your light, the light of Jesus, to those around me. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would empower me to do this thing that you've placed in my heart. Remind me. Strengthen me. Change me from the inside out. Help me to live bold and shine your light. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.